Welcome to Unfiltered Talk, where nothing is off the table and where we get the dirty, unfiltered, uncensored details from your favorite spicy creators. Unfiltered Talk is officially sponsored by unfiltered.com, the platform for creators by creators, where you can monetize and sell just about anything, even a jar of farts. I'm your host, Stephanie Maddow. Let's get unfiltered. All right, so we have tonight DJ Octo Booty here at the Hustler Club in Vegas, which is actually where you DJ.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, so I'm like so intrigued by you and your whole entire story. I want to know, first of all, where did you get your start as a DJ and as a creator, as an entertainer?
So as a DJ, I mean, I've been playing around with music my whole life. My whole family does music. My little brother and sister both rap and produce. So like we've all been playing around with music forever. I started really getting into DJing probably right before the pandemic. And then when it hit, I started doing quarantine parties on my OnlyFans.
What is that?
Like I would just, because we couldn't go out, we couldn't leave the house. So yeah. I was like, well, if we can't party, I'm just going to throw parties in my house. So I would set up my DJ equipment, and it would literally be me DJing, popping confetti poppers. Like
from your house.
From my house, just like throwing a party. Like I'm by myself throwing this party.
Yeah.
But the people were so happy to like have some type of interaction and excitement. So I would do it every single week, like the same day. And then once things started reopening, people already had seen me doing the online DJing. That they were like, okay, let's have you.
Okay. So, like, during the pandemic and COVID is really where you got your start as an entertainer?
Yes.
Wow. How old are you? Whatever that DJ was
complaining about. I identify as 22.
Okay. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. So you have, like, a very interesting style, which I love. Like, I'm obviously, like, I follow you on social media. So, like, where did you, like, is this a character or is this really you?
Oh, this is just me. Yeah. I grew up in Berkeley. Like, I grew up around lots of tattoos, piercings, crazy colored hair. Like, that was just normal. My mom used to work in a tattoo and piercing shop. So that's just, like, what I saw all the time. It was just, like, freaky, weird, cool-looking people. And so I just knew very young. I also had the biggest crush on Dennis Rodman when I was a child. So I was just like, that whole vibe of just like that alternative, just like,
I think
I
might be
care.
The only person to say that you had a crush on Dennis Rodman.
Carmen Electra.
Okay. All right. Okay. I've been proven wrong. The only thing that I can think of when I hear Dennis Rodman is like, like, I don't know.
That's so like recent though. Like I have a long history of crushing,
of crushing on him. Okay, got it. So have you always been in Vegas or are you?
Oh no, I was born in Oakland, California. I grew up in Northern California and spent some time in like LA, Orange County area, and then I've been here for like 10 years.
Oh my god. So how is it living in Vegas? Like what kind of crazy things have you experienced here?
People are wild out here. Like people take their partying to a level that I've never really experienced.
So like working at the Hustler Club as a DJ, what is the craziest thing that you've experienced?
The craziest thing that I've experienced? Probably a patron trying to fight me.
But why? You're so sweet.
I think so this boyfriend was getting like aggressive with me, and then I was just kind of like, oh, like calm down, like there's no need to act like that, and then he was like, sick my girlfriend on you type thing.
What?
But our security here at Hustler is so amazing that he was a sports fan, so his girlfriend very quickly. So
good for the security at Hustler. Thanks for looking out.
But it's so hard to like pinpoint like really like wild things because it's just like I guess my whole life experience is so wild on the day-to-day basis. So to pinpoint like
one
wild stuff happens. But, like, anybody, it's always wild here.
Anybody trying to, like, buy anything off of you, like, saying, like, hey, like, you're really hot. Can I buy your, like, your sweaty and DJ clothes?
I mean, sometimes more so they try to just steal stuff off the stage.
Oh, my God.
And then I gotta, like, track down my outfit pieces at the end of the night.
Oh, my God.
And they're expensive, so,
yeah,
you know.
I can imagine.
So you've been working as a DJ for 2 years now. Have you dabbled in other areas of like the adult industry since you're working at?
That was before. Yeah.
Okay. I want to know about that. So how long were you in the adult entertainment?
So I started dancing stripping, doing bachelor parties in 2012. I did that for a long time. I used to sell content on clips for sale back in the day. So before OnlyFans was even a thing.
Yeah.
So when Snapchat first started, I was doing the premium Snapchat, and then OnlyFans got popular. I've been on that 4 years before it blew up. So that was my main thing, was performing, dancing, shooting adult content before.
Okay. And so what was your first foray into doing adult content? For example, I started doing adult content when I was 26 years old. I got out of a really bad breakup.
Yeah.
I wanted to explore my sexuality and body. And that was
kind of a similar story to me.
Yeah.
I was kind of in the same space. And then I was working, the bachelor party company that I worked for, they also shot porn, and so I was just trying to get more bookings, grow my brand more, and I'm just why not? I'm already getting naked. Let's just...
Yeah, exactly. There's people out there doing it for free, so you might as well get
exactly.
more.
Exactly.
So, how do you feel being classified as an adult content creator has affected your personal life, your personal relationship?
Most definitely, but I'm to the point in my life where I feel I'm so comfortable with myself. I know who I am. I know what my boundaries are. I know that I'm never going to do anything that I can't sit well with in my own spirit. I probably wouldn't have sex for money with anybody that I wouldn't have sex with for free. That's just my own personal. I totally support escort sex workers. I have lots of friends that do that, but just for me, that's a little too far. So
you can't get into that headspace.
No. So I'm strictly I dance on stage, I film movies myself, but that's probably the extent.
Is it mostly solo filming?
No, I do boy girl, everything. I just like to be in control. I'm a control freak. I'm a Virgo,
I'm a Virgo.
Okay, so
when
you understand September 12th.
September 21st.
Yes, I love that. So you understand, you want to be
I'm a total control freak. Yeah, there's very particular content that I like to do, and if my fans ask me things that push my limits and my boundaries, I'm not into it.
Good.
But even so, I've done some pretty crazy shit. The craziest content I've ever done is I've sold party videos.
For me, I would probably feel weird doing something that. Yeah.
You wouldn't fart on camera?
Because I've never even farted in front of a boyfriend.
Really?
So to do that for me would be crazy. But I love that you feel comfortable doing that because there's so much money to be made.
I've never farted in front of my boyfriend, but I sell my fart videos for $50 to $100.
I love that. You're if you want this, babe, you're going to have to pay for it everyone else.
Yeah, and you know what's really fucked up? I've had a guy follow me for 5 years who's never purchased a fucking lick of content. He spent $0. And the other day, he's hey, I'm really interested in your fart content. Can you send me some of that? I was sure, finally, this motherfucker's going to spend some money. So
that's
I sent it to him
hilarious.
For $50.
Because you never know what their thing is going to be.
Yeah.
There's something for everyone.
There's a lot of weirdos online.
And I love them.
I
they keep my bills paid.
Exactly. So, of all the weird requests you might have gotten on your subscription page, what is the weirdest? What takes the cake?
Oh, gosh.
I know it's not far.
I know. I'm I don't know how disturbing I want to get with this.
Yes, as disturbing as you want.
Weird, race play. Yeah. People want me to say, derogatory racial
and
things.
And you do it?
No, I will not. I'm mixed. I can't control that. Are you kidding me? I don't feel... Because people want derogatory stuff, or they want me to pretend I'm their daughter or things like that. And stuff like that, I'm just no. If it's stuff that freaks me out in real life.
No.
I mean, if you want me to be your sister, I can probably do that. But your kid, no.
Stepmom, maybe.
I can probably do stepmom.
Yeah.
If it's you're being creepy older, you want them older, that's okay. I can probably do that. But
Yeah, I had a guy who wanted me to role play a mean stepmom, and I had a mean stepmom. So
okay, so you're I can channel this perfectly.
I can channel it, but then afterwards, kind of fucking
see, and that's the thing is you have to be okay, you kind of get into it, and then once it starts to feel weird, I'm okay, no.
I mean, that's some really bad childhood trauma. and I'm not ready to deal with it.
Right, but then sometimes it's good because you're like, oh, I didn't realize I was, like, fucked up in this way, so maybe I need to, sorry, I didn't know how long it was on here.
No,
but
I'm like, okay, so we're talking about race play and farting on camera. Anything is game here.
Oh my gosh, so.
That's pretty intense. So, like, do you have a game plan for you doing this type of content? Like, will you retire at some point? Or is it, like, something that you want to do until you're old and gray?
I think as long as people are going to give me money to play with myself and act out all my really bizarre fantasies, I'm going to do it. Like, I see women in their 50s still making tons of money making content. So, like, why not?
My least favorite comment that I get from haters is like, what are you going to do when you get older? Like, do you have like a plan? And I'm like, dude, do you know how many guys are into like content?
Right.
Into guilt.
Right. Exactly. I had boyfriends in my, when I was 19, I found a folder on my boyfriend's computer and it was a porn folder and it had grandma porn in it. I was 19, okay, so.
Did you stay with him after that?
Yeah. No longer. I don't think that's in the past.
I don't think that I was able to look past that, honestly. So.
You know, as girls, we look past a lot of things we shouldn't in our young years.
Another comment that I get from people, like being an adult content creator, is like, oh, good luck finding a partner with somebody who will accept you for what you do. Do you feel like your current partner is super accepting of what you do?
I mean, so in terms of relationships, I will only really spend time with people who don't have that judgmental aspect to them. Like, if you are going to judge me on that, question me, try to pull me away from my occupation, then we're not even on the same wavelength, because I'm okay with what I do because I'm good in my own spirit. So if someone comes into my situation and they like question me or make me feel weird about it, we are not on the same vibration. So
it's really weird because I've been told that it would be so hard for me to find a partner because I do adult content and I work in this industry. But actually, I have met the most like accepting and people
right
doing this work.
I feel like you have to be on a different level of understanding to be okay, and also a different level of confidence, like to be comfortable being with somebody who is in this type of work. You have to be really confident in yourself. What I've learned is the most toxic people are insecure people. When you have, right, so if you have an insecure person you're in a relationship with, they're going to project that onto you no matter what. So finding someone who's comfortable with this, they're going to be that more like emotionally mature in so many other ways.
And so, like, I guess the last question in relation to that is, like, how is your family about you?
So, it's interesting because most of the males in my family are actually pretty supportive. Like, my uncle, my grandpa, they've all been, like, really supportive. My dad, before he passed, was super, super supportive. A lot of the females in my family, they're very, like, underground hoes, you know, like, the types that are just, like, very shady, like, do promiscuous shit. So then, like, when I got into it and was doing it publicly in the forefront, they were very judgmental. And so it's definitely, like, I've lost a lot of relationships with females in my family, but the guys in the family don't really care.
Do you think it could be like a
big
jealous?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Because I even had my mom used to tell me, like, oh, if I was in better shape, I would have been a stripper. Like, wanted to do a sex phone operator stuff. My mom used to ask me how to do webcam. So it was super weird. Like, when I started doing it, it was a problem. And it seemed like, okay, well, you're just upset because I'm getting attention for it. I'm going on podcasts. I'm going on interviews. I'm connecting with people on this other level. And you're just, you know, on live Jasmine playing with yourself for free. So, that's a whole different story.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I think it is. It's just like, it's just jealousy, not understanding, not being fully comfortable with yourself and your own sexuality. So when you're not comfortable with your own sexuality, it's super easy to judge people who are.
absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I have like a girl diss me, judge me for the work that I do, and then like 6 months later they're like out of a job or struggling financially, and they're messaging me like, hey Steph, wondering like how do you just struggle out in
winter? Right. That was my like whole experience during the pandemic when everyone's losing their jobs and I'm getting all these DMs and I'm like, wait, you judged me though.
Yeah.
Like, I saw you putting up nasty memes about content creators and sex workers and stuff like that. Like, but none of those people ended up being successful on platforms anyways, because they all thought of it like a quick get rich quick scheme. Like, if you couldn't succeed at Subway, what makes you think that you're going to succeed at selling an internet content?
Amen.
You're not.
You can't make a foot long. You can't.
Amen.
Amen.
That.
So, as like a successful creator, as a successful DJ, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to enter into the industry and apply it?
Do what you want. Don't let anybody make you question yourself. Don't let anybody make you feel like you aren't capable of doing what you dream of doing, because we've seen so many stories of people coming up from nothing and accomplishing amazing things. So no matter how out of this world it seems, if it feels right in your heart and your spirit,
yeah,
fucking do it.
And like, you have a really big social media following. So how did you grow that? Like, how did you get into the point where it's
doing? Just consistency, just posting lots of twerking videos.
Twerking videos, guys, take notes.
Well, Instagram's not what it used to be. So when I started on Instagram, it was a lot easier to get away with certain content. Yeah, I've been banned quite a few times.
How many times?
I have lost probably like 6 Instagram pages in the last 2 years.
How many like followers on
Instagram? One page had like 1.7 million.
Shut the hell up.
Yes, ma'am. And then accumulatively. Oh, it's been a depressing couple years. But
oh my God.
But it happens. It's just part of the nature of this business, you know, and having to understand how to like work with these social media platforms as they evolve. Because when they first start, it's like the Wild West. You can do whatever on these platforms, and then once you get big investors, they got IPOs, all these different things. Like, now you gotta be.
What platform do you prefer to put your content on?
I mean, honestly, at this point, like, I love TikTok. I get the most organic growth, the most traffic to my paid platforms through going on TikTok. But I mean, most everybody still uses Instagram, so I still. Gotta be over there.
Hard to grow on now, though.
Yes, it's definitely different. I mean, it's gotten better, like with the reels and stuff, because they're trying to compete with TikTok.
Yeah.
So
they won't.
They won't. they never will.
Well, DJ Octavia, it was so nice to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Talk.
This was fun.
You were very charming and beautiful.
Thank you.
And
so are you.
And you're very fun. So if you want to like plug into your socials right now, feel free to do so.
The Insta is OctoVXDJ.
Oh, no.
For now, yeah,
for now.
At the moment. Twitter, Deja Morgan, 2 N's.
Amazing. All right, guys, go follow her. Hopefully, we can get you on the Twitter too.
Yes, I'm working on it. It's happening. It's just, you know,
it's a process. You're a busy girl. All right, well,
thank you
guys
so
for
much.
Listening to another episode of Unfiltered Talk, and we'll see you in our next episode.